I heard an interesting word this weekend, and in the word that I heard, he was speaking about so many times we get things out of order in our lives. God cares first about the person. The person, you individually, your identity. You know, everybody has a personality. And secondly, the position. Mine's position right now as a pastor. I can't let the pastor come in front of the position of person. I am the person, but I have a position of pastor. And as a pastor, I expect to have a performance, but I can't let the performance come before the person or the position. And they fall in that order. So, you know, God created us all differently. And that's why I shared this morning shared with them this morning that your pastor has a blend. He's sarcastic and he's corny. He's sarcastic and he's corny. That's my personality. And in this personality, I got a Greek word for it. It's called sarcornia. All right? Sarcornia means to be partially sarcastic and partially corny. So when you're listening to your pastor, you see your pastor, don't get caught up in the sarcasm and don't get caught up in the corniness, because that's just my personality. I heard this, some individuals speaking, and we all have different types of personalities, you know? And it's all good. Amen? You know? And, you know, what happens is, so many times, we want them to be transformed into the image of Christ, but we can't change their personality. We can't change your DNA. Amen? So that's probably what we're trying to change people, make them look and act like us. Guess what? If everybody walked around and looked and acted like me, boy, wouldn't it be a boring, dull world to live in? Corny world. Amen? There'd be Wheaties everywhere. Well, cornflakes, I mean. Not Wheaties, cornflakes. Amen. But I got a word for you. I got a word for you today. You know, when I was studying this, and you look up there, it says lost in space. And some of you younger people might not know, but the older ones may know. In the 60s, probably 1965 through 68, there was a TV show. It was called Lost in Space. It was the Robinson family. They were forecasting by 1997 that the world would be overpopulated, and they were looking for a new place for the people on Earth to live. But what took place is when they left Earth, they had a robot that would guide them and direct them, but they came into this meteorite storm, and they got hit by a meteor, and they were forced to land on a planet, and the robot got injured. Now, this robot was the wisdom to get them to where they need to go, because he had more knowledge than they did, even though there were scientists and doctors there. So they were lost in space, and they were trying to find their way home. But on this planet that they lived on, there'd be all kinds of creatures and monsters on this planet. But the one thing the robot could do when he sensed evil coming or danger coming, he would roll his arms up and down and say, warning, 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 warning. And what the Lord was saying to me is, so many times as children of God, we get off of course. Just a little, we get off of course, but out here we are lost in space. Amen. And God has given us a GPS to bring us back. God's precious spirit. Amen. That he's given to bring us back to him. But he gives us warnings in his word. So to build the foundation for today in this word, I want you to open your Bibles first to John chapter 16. I'm going to do a little bit of teaching today, if that's okay. I'll probably end up preaching, but I'm going to try to teach. I heard a great statistic this week. Preaching churches around the nation are growing faster than teaching churches. Hello? Preaching churches are growing fast, will grow faster than teaching churches. We have teachers, when someone stands up, I'm here to preach, but I'm going to try to teach. Everybody with me for a moment? Breathe in. Breathe in. The Holy Spirit's got something to say to us today. I'm just getting us ready. Amen? So in John 16, verse number 13, the Word of God says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." I want you to keep your focus on, and he will show you things to come. Now let's look with our text today in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Word of God says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." This word expressly comes from the Greek word rhetos. It's spelled R-H-E-T-O-S, and it means distinctly, openly. Remember, Jesus said, "Howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, because he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Now all of a sudden, Paul, the apostle, is speaking to his student and his spiritual son, Timothy. When you're looking at God's word, there's two things you want to understand. One, who is he speaking to? And two, what is he saying? In other words, let's get in line. He's speaking to his student, Timothy, which means he's speaking to a man of God. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the body of Christ. And he is saying to you and I, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So the title of this morning's message, with the help of the Lord, is Lost in Space. The three things I want to share with you today is: some will depart, some will deceive, and some will dilute. Some will depart, some will deceive, and some will dilute. Let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of his word. Can we make a declaration in the house together? Can we lift our word together? Say, "I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God's word says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, my ears are open. My heart is receptive. Speak to me, for I am listening. In Jesus' name. Amen." Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. So first of all, Father God, I pray, Father God, that you speak to this vessel. May the words that come forth bring life, Father God, in the abundance thereof. You sent your word to edify, to build us up, to encourage us, Lord Jesus, and to comfort us. So may we be encouraged, may we be edified, may we be comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. Father God, when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and the honor and the praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people says, amen. 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 So, you know, to begin with, he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly," the rhetos, he's speaking distinctly. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has shown Paul some things to come. Paul, again, is writing this letter to his student Timothy, a man of God. He's his spiritual son, but he's also a leader of others. And God wants us to understand that the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 13. Thus, verse number 12 says, Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, I want you to understand, first off, when Paul was writing to his student Timothy, his spiritual son, he is writing to him expressly of what the Holy Spirit said. He isn't just saying this for the sake of saying, hey, guy, I think something's going to happen in the future. He's saying, I know by the Spirit of God that something is coming. I know without a shadow of doubt that I heard from God that these things are coming to the church and to the body of Christ. And as he is speaking these things, it's important for you and I to allow the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened so that when these things come, that we notice them and we don't give heed to them. In other words, Paul is warning Timothy. He is warning him. He is giving him a warning like that robot, warning, warning, warning. Danger is coming. In other words, you have to prepare. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times. I want you to understand that we are living in the latter times. Amen. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3. Says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Now, I want to build something on this lust today. Lust is the source of all infidelity. Lust is the source, not only sexual, but lust for things of the world, for riches of the world, lust for position, lust for power, lust for all these. It's the source of all infidelity. Lust wants to satisfy my own needs. Amen? You know, so the Bible says, that, you know, and James 1, verse number 13 says, let no man say he is tempted by God, because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does God tempt any man. But when tempted, we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. When lust is conceived, it becomes sin. And when sin is finished, it becomes death, because the wages of sin is death. So he's saying to us, and he's warning us, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, one, some shall depart from the faith. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 17, the Word of God says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. You know, and he's saying that some's going to depart from the faith. Why? Because they're feeding their lust, their lust, their desire for things of the world. In other words, God's word is not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same word that my daddy preached is the same word we're preaching today. The same word that my granddaddy preached, we are preaching today. The same word that the great-granddaddy preached, we're preaching today. It has not changed. The word will not change. And we're trying to adjust the word to the world. Because there's the mentality, if we become the world, we can win the world. No. No. It will not work. 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 Not everybody in every church that's in church this morning is going to heaven. Hello? Jesus, God only delivered 8 out of the flood. He only delivered a few out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said the road is the way is straight and narrow. Wide is the road to destruction, but narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leadeth into eternal life. And he says, but there'll be a few there that find it. In other words, what God is saying to us is, hey, some are going to depart from the faith. Some can't run the race. You know, it's something. I learned a nice lesson this week. This week when I went to Tulsa to the leadership conference, I got off of my schedule. I didn't run in the morning. I ate at 10:30 at night. I ate a lot of junk, and I got back, and when I got back, I weighed 10 pounds more than when I left. 6 days, I picked up 10 pounds, and the Lord was saying to me, he was saying, when you get off the path, when you get off the course, when you get a little off the course, you end up way up there. You don't know it, never. You don't know how you ended up there, but all of a sudden you end up this place. Paul says this, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Amen. In other words, when God healed me from my diabetes, he said, use wisdom and discipline. Well, see, I went to this Holy Ghost meeting, and there was all kinds of Holy Ghost and Holy Ghost power, and that was all there, and I got fat. You know, I wasn't just looking. I didn't get P-H-A-T. I got F-A-T. I got some of that back. All right? But the Lord showed me something. We got to stick to our, we got to stick to the plan. Amen? Because what happens is we just do a little bit away and a little bit away. All of a sudden, well, I'm going to stop going Sunday night. Oh, I don't need to go Wednesdays anymore. And before you know it, you don't think Sunday's important either. Hello, all of a sudden, those things that you were doing first that were working because you got off the path. And you know what? It's just a little off the path. You know, if you're 2 degrees off right now, it doesn't seem like very much at all until you get way out here. Amen? And then you're way off the course. Amen? And then we start justifying ourselves. Hello? You know, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 3, verse number 12, says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Amen? You know, some will depart. God turns many over to a reprobate mind. Hello? He always reminds me, remember and go back to the first things. You know, when I get off of track, he just says, come back to the cross. Come back to the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen? Amen? Amen. So sometimes in this life, he says, some are going to depart. Turn with me in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. The Word of God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Remember, the lust is the source of all infidelity. And the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come, and even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You know, in other words, not everybody's going to go with you. Amen? You know, and when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm not going to give an account for you. I'm going to give an account for me. Amen? You know, I shared this morning that things that I did, there's some things that I'll still give an account for. You know, I'm going to get a few stripes for some things. I don't know about you, but I don't like beatings. I don't want to be spanked. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be like the spanking we get. I don't know what that's like, but hey. We can't discredit everything we do. You know what's important? Here's an important thing for everybody. Listen up. Listen up. As men and women of God, there's nothing more valuable than your integrity. Say what you mean and mean what you say. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you're not going to do it, never say it, because it affects your integrity. And there's men and women that are watching you. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give your Father in heaven all the glory. Is it okay to have a loose collar in here today? I felt a little stuffy. There are some, I said, that know better, but do it anyway. And the Word of God writes about them in Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 4, for it is impossible for those who once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. We're responsible for what we know, church. You know, God says in his word that we're accountable for what he's entrusted. We're to be good stewards. We're good stewards. Amen? You know, I shared this morning, God gave me when he called me into this ministry of Greatest Freedom Ministries, he gave me a great big vision. It was a vision that no way in the world that I could accomplish and do it. It's still bigger than I can even imagine. And since it's bigger than I can imagine, it shows me that I'll always need him. And if you think God's called you to do something that you can already do, I believe God calls us to things that we have to trust him to be able to do. That with me and him, we could do it together. But with me, myself, if I was just doing it, no, no, no. Good morning. Did you have a good nap? You can still sleep in here. You can stay in here. She's all right. Give her a blanket. Hallelujah. She didn't fall asleep because of my preaching. I'm too loud for that. So some will depart from the faith, guys. Now, let's not justify ourselves by that. The Bible says, which of you having 100 sheep and one of them go astray, do you not leave the 99 and go after the one? And when you found the one, you come back rejoicing because your sheep was lost, but now it's found. Amen? So that doesn't give us an excuse just to let people go. Amen? So, but some are going to depart. Some can't do it. And most of them that can't do it, they were trying to do it on their own strength. But my Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, he will renew their strength. And then you'll mount up and run. And you will not grow weary. And you'll walk and you will not faint. You'll mount up on wings as an eagle. You know, on my desk, on my desk in my office at the house, I had this statue of a big eagle on my desk, just to remind me of who my strength comes from. My strength comes from Him. Because when I try to do some of these things on my own strength, I get all worn out. And I get all weary. And I get all beat down. And I come to Him and I'm sort of like Elijah, whining to Him. Whine, wah, wah, wah. Wah, 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 wah. And it's sort of like... It's sort of like He says to me, well, what are you doing here, son? I've already told you. I already told you. You know, He will speak to us. He's got a still, quiet voice, a quiet, still voice, and He'll speak to you. Amen. Because there's going to come a time in everyone's life that's in this room that you're going to feel like giving up. You'll feel like quitting. Come on. Just being real. And God, through His word, the Spirit speaking expressly in the last time, He is warning you that that will come. Amen? But we're not to give heed to it. We're to recognize, He said, now the Spirit speaking expressly in the last time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. In other words, they are being deceived. Paul would write to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 13. Again, what is he writing to Timothy? What is he writing about? Deception. Departing. Diluting the word. And 2 Timothy 3:13, he says that, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. You know, he says these things are going to come. These thoughts are going to come. But we recognize that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for pulling down every stronghold, casting down every imagination that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing under captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And Paul is telling his student, his spiritual son, that these things are going to come. He's not saying maybe they will come. He is saying, yes, they will come. The Spirit is speaking distinctly and expressly and saying, it's going to happen. Remember who he's speaking to. He's speaking to a spiritual leader. I'm not only speaking to the congregation today, but I'm speaking to every spiritual leader that's in the house. This word was written for you and I to take a hold of and to grab and to grasp, knowing that these things are coming. You know, it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, it hurts. The word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from those who lived in error While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and again are entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than from the beginning. In other words, God is warning us in His Word that these things will come. You know, he clarifies it a little in Acts chapter 20. So if you turn there for a moment, in Acts 20, Paul speaking again. Remember, we're speaking the Spirit, speaking, expressing the latter times, some shall depart from faith, the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. The Word of God says in Acts 20, verse number 28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock. First, the Lord says, take heed unto yourself. So when I'm studying the Word, I check my inventory. He says, hey, bring your body under subjection. So when you preach to others, you don't become a castaway. This is what he's speaking to Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27. So in other words, when this word comes, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he had purchased with his blood. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. When I was reading that, I was reminded of, there's a cartoon, The Roadrunner. And Willie Coyote is always after the Roadrunner. And Willie Coyote would set all these traps for the Roadrunner, but the trap would turn and fall on Willie Coyote. And the Lord was saying that the wolf, the adversary, the devil, he'll put all kinds of traps, set all kinds of traps for you and me. But if you stay in the Word of God and God's will and in the power of the Holy Spirit, every trap he sets for you will be turned on him. Amen. So he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of yourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. You'll see it all the time. Did you see this? Oh, I don't like the way he does this. Did you see the way he looked at me today? I had to go to the bathroom. Hello? Have you ever had stomach pains? I'm having stomach pains right now. I'm having stomach pains right now. You know? So if I'm looking at you funny, it's not about you, it's about the stomach pain. Hallelujah. Jesus said this. Matthew chapter 12. Verse number 30. Get a hold of this today as a body of Christ. You know, the enemy always comes for three ways. He comes to kill, steal, destroy. He comes to divide. A house divided cannot stand. A house, not only this house, but your house. And anything that the enemy's doing to divide your house, you got to get your house in order. Because if your house isn't in order, you're not in order. It's better to go and get your house in order. Because the Word of God says in Matthew 12:30, Jesus said that. He said, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So if you're not with, you're against. And you don't realize that if you're against, you scatter. God doesn't want any of us to scatter. What he wants to scatter is the chatter. Hello? Let me say something to you. And I'm not edifying or lifting myself up, but I want to say something to you. I'm a called, anointed, powerful man of God. I've got an anointing on my life that's powerful and it's strong. I go into situations and circumstances in the world walking with God with me, and I walk into rooms, and the total atmosphere of the room changes when I walk in the room. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm not prideful. I'm not proud. I just know who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm a humble man. The power in me is the power of God. I used to try to operate in my power, and I accomplished nothing. I'm walking in the power of God. And I want you to understand something. Protect yourself. God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And if somebody comes up to you speaking about your pastor, you shut them up. You take no part of it. I'm not going to have any part of that evil work. You put it to a stop to it right then. You stand up for the man of God, and God will stand up for you. You don't know what I'm facing for you. You don't know when you're in the forefront what's going on. There's spiritual warfare that's going on. I see all this stuff attacking families, and families are buying into it. They're taking it. They're receiving it. We're interceding. We're praying. We're speaking God's word. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, they let that seducing spirit come in, and they start buying that lie. Hallelujah. And once they get in that lie, man, it's difficult to get them out of it. They'll go to the next place. Oh, I'm sure glad that you're a great pastor. That other pastor I left, he was all critical with everything. Now, I don't want you to do this, and I don't want you to do that. And if you do this and you do that, I can serve you. Come on. Come on. We said it this morning. Listen to me. That sign out there says Greatest Freedom Ministries. It tells you what this ministry is about. This is a deliverance ministry. Half of the people that are in this room have been delivered from the addiction of drugs. Hello? Come on. Not every church in this valley is a deliverance ministry. There's many of them that are sitting around still holding on to the addictions. They go to church on Sunday and do a snort of cocaine after they leave. Smoke a little crack. Smoke a little meth. They get their hallelujahs on. But God delivers you. You know, God wants to bring you out of the bonds of darkness into his marvelous light, man. Amen. So when you see this sign, you say, hey, Greatest Freedom Ministries, man. This is a ministry that's about freedom. And you know what? We want to worship the Lord freely. We want to give him all the glory. We want to give him all the honor. We want to give him all the praise. Because it's not about us. It's all about him. We just sang that song. But how many actually not saying it, but acted upon it? It's all about you, Jesus. Barbara Judy.
It's all about you, Jesus.
You know, and we sing it, but do we believe it? You know, it's not just a song. You know, when we're singing it, we're singing it as an act of worship to the Lord. It's like this. I tried it my way, Lord. It didn't work. Hello? And some are still trying it your own way. And my question is, how's that working for you? God gave us a plan that works. That works. You know, so he said, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I put in, some will dilute. Every week, pastor being a creature of habit, at least one day every week I go to Thai Cafe. And at Thai Cafe, I have the same thing every time I go, chicken vermicelli. And when I come in, the waitress Joy or the waitress Jerrica, they all know me. When I come in, they'll bring me my drink. They'll bring me a can of Diet Dr. Pepper, a glass of ice, and a glass of ice water. And what I'll do is I'll take the Dr. Pepper and I'll fill the glass of ice half full, and then I'll dump water into the Diet Dr. Pepper and dilute it. Well, why do you do that? Because the Diet Dr. Pepper makes me burp. So I dilute it so I don't burp. And just, I don't mean gross, but it's just a fact. But it doesn't have the same taste. It doesn't taste as good as the undiluted. And there's so many people that are diluting the Word of God, and they don't understand why it isn't having an effect. It's because they watered it down and it doesn't work. When God said it, he said it right. You know, and I looked at it, it's like painting a wall with changing the color of that wall. I thought that was my stomach there for a minute. Changing that color wall and buying some paint and then watering it down and thinning it real out and then trying to change the color. And that's what happens so many times when we dilute the Word of God. Paul said to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, verse number 2, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. Remember, what's the source of all infidelity? After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. Amen? In other words, the watered down word doesn't work, but there's so many people, oh, I felt so good today. You made me feel so good. You told me everything I wanted to hear. Then you tell them something they need to hear. Amen. Remember, now the Spirit speaking expressly, that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. They're going to be given heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Everything that's added to or taken to from the Word of God is from the devil. Hello? He's the Alpha and the Omega. He said, I'm not he that begins and halfway done quits. He gave us the full word, not half truths. He promised to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Amen. Jesus, the way, the truth. He gives us the fullness of truth. He gives us revelation of the truth. He wants us to understand. Oh, that isn't for you, sir. That was for someone else. Well, Jesus says to me, he's the Genesis to Revelation. And everything that's in between. He says, not one jot or tittle. Not one. You know, the Bible says the law wasn't abolished in Christ Jesus. It was fulfilled. Thank God for the grace. That we don't have to do the works of the law. But for grace we are saved by faith. That not of ourselves is a gift from God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Ooh, ooh. Hallelujah. Where was I at? Timothy, what? There we are. I'm on the wrong page. Paul also says in Colossians chapter 2, let me close this down. Verse number 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 13, Lord, just tell me to shut it down. Verse 13, verse number 9, says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied thereby. You know, in other words, Paul was, when he was speaking, I said that earlier in Romans 13, the Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So in closing today, what is God saying to us, his church today? He is saying, hey, the Spirit is saying this is going to happen. Amen? He's speaking expressly. He's speaking distinctly. He's speaking openly. That some's going to depart from the faith. Why? And how? Because they're going to give heed to seducing spirits. And they're going to believe doctrines of devils. So what God is going to say what God is saying to you and I simply is in James 1. Verse number 26. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before the God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. God called us out of the world. He chose you and I and ordained you and I that we would bring forth fruit, that our fruit may remain, that whatsoever we ask the Father in his name, he gives it to you and I. The Spirit is warning us and he's telling us that, hey, some are going to depart. Some are going to hang on. Some are going to be deceived. But whatever we do, we're not going to dilute the Word of God. I will not water down God's Word. You know, some people don't like it because, you know, I know it's, you know, I told my father when I was ordained. I told my father, a man of God, I said, Dad, he said, son, there's one thing I ask you to do. He said, never preach out of anything but the King James Version of the Bible. And I will not preach out of another version. I've seen the Word rewritten. Things dropped out, removed. Things added in. Sometimes they say it's to give you more understanding, but it offers more than that. What God is saying to you and I, the church, you and I are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because your work is not in vain in the Lord. So whatever we do, church, God's just telling us to do it the best we can. Serve Him with gusto. Serve Him with all your heart. Give them your very best, and you'll be blessed. Amen? So when we leave here today, we can say, hey, we knew that we heard from God. Because the Word of God says, let him that have an ear hear what the Spirit has to say. The Holy Spirit spoke to us through God's Word today. Now, what are you going to do with what you heard? God says for us to strengthen ourselves. Amen? I know that the adversary wants to destroy what God is building. I know it. I see it all the time. But you know what? He's a loser. He's a loser. He's a loser. We're on the winning team. We're on the winning team. So can we all stand together today? I believe everybody knows Jesus in the room. Can we all stand and just give the Lord thanks? Lift up your hands together. Lord, we thank you for your word, that your word is quick and it's sharp and it's powerful, Father God. And we're grateful, Father God, that there were some that were in the brink of giving up, Father God. But they heard from you today. They heard from you today. And your word has strengthened them, has encouraged them, has lifted up their spirits, Father God. They know that they can run this race because you are the one that's going to help them. You're the one that's going to be with them. You're the one that's going to see them through. So, Father, and we praise you and we give you glory. May we not only hear this word, but may we be doers of it, Father God. Strengthen us, Father God, in your power and in your might. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'd like some leaders to come up with us today. This is one of my saddest parts of ministry. I met a guy from West Virginia yesterday. He had a slap anointing, and for some reason, I got to slap Troy. No, just kidding. That's part of it.